and don't want to ever go home. Satan handed over to me, and I handed it back to him. And he handed it back to me, and I handed it to him. So we kept on that way, and sometimes you go to bed, in the church, and then finally I got away from it and went on to dedicate the church.
Thank God.
Standing up on this box this afternoon, I takes me back to time, Mama, you put me on a box to wash the dishes. Well, I hope for you it's the same thing this afternoon.
Praise
the Lord. So the Lord bless. A few announcements I had to make. Just the other day, I was give a little paper here that said that please announce that Brother Van Hoot, and W.E. Kitson will be in Phoenix, Arizona, February the 27th and March the 5th. Keep that in mind. Now, I think tomorrow night that Brother Oral Roberts is going to speak here, perhaps in the same auditorium as the banquet. And Brother Oral is certainly a masterpiece of God's in the process. Wonderful man of God, man of faith. And I'm sure it'll be good to come out here, Brother Robert, tomorrow night. And then the breakfast in the morning and so forth, as many as already I've seen sitting behind the curtain and got their tickets and so forth, which is fine. But we're always glad to be in the convention. I know you have something coming off in a few minutes, or just maybe after you get through speaking, sometime in a meeting. Now, cut my words as short as possible. One thing being a little hoarse, next thing, please, your time may be already in for over 2 hours. I know you're tired. Now, tomorrow, or next Sunday, the Lord willing, next Sunday being February the 6th. Next Sunday evening at the Assemblies of God in Tucson, we'll be praying for the state. Next Sunday evening, beginning at 7:30 at Tucson, Arizona. And then we travel tomorrow on to the west coast to the down to Los Angeles, Long Beach, I believe it is, and then up to around Bakersfield for the next service and going on evening. I hope that it's God's will that I can be in here at the same time you stand are there. And also, Jerusalem. I'd like to go to Jerusalem once and see the land where our Lord has been. I want to greet so many of my fine friends in the family. I see Brother Bison, Brother Rose, and so many around here. They quite a time to call their names. Study out a few moments ago to see. So Brother Smith, he must throw his arms around him. What a wonderful time of fellowship. Now, as he read the scriptures, I'd like to take for a text, if we call that, out of the third verse of the second chapter of Deuteronomy. We have compassed this mountain long enough, turning him northward. I'd like to speak on the subject of turning northward. It would be hard for Israel to think that the promised land was 40 years away when they were standing on the other side of the Red Sea, dancing, shouting, rejoicing, when they were only merely just a few days from it. It is for just a very short time, I think. With an automobile, you can probably drive an hour and a half. From walking, maybe 2 days, 3 or 4, something like that, easy, you can go on to the promised land. And they were thinking that they were almost there. And they were having a great jubilee of shouting, praising God, seeing what God had did for them. And how it's been hard to make them believe that they were 40 years away from that promise. The full promise of God that is promised. Grace had provided them a great land. Grace had provided them a Passover lamb. Grace had provided them a prophet. And grace had provided them an angel. The Passover lamb was for their sin. Their prophet was their instructor. The angel was their guide. Grace had provided everything for them, But in spite of all of that, he went along. And this grace had provided them an escape out of Egypt before they had any law. This grace had provided them one of the greatest revivals that they'd ever had. In this revival, they had seen great powers of God. In this revival, they had seen sunshine while the rest of the world was in darkness. In this revival, they had seen the mighty hand of God deliver the innocent people, bringing them from bondage into liberty. And in this revival, after they crossed over the Red Sea, they found all their enemies dead in the Red Sea behind them. Why was they able to add anything to that? They stand just about like our Pentecostal fathers did about 40 years ago. After we had seen the same thing that they had seen, one of the mightiest revivals that the church ever had, being divine healing, the people brought out of bondage, being bound by fetters of denominations and so forth, and brought out into a freedom. Grace had provided them everything they had need of. An angel of God to lead them, prophet, great man. I heard them say the other day that Azusa Street meeting, when they had it over here in California, that they thought it was a disgrace when they ever introduced songbooks to the church. They sang in the Spirit. Just as the Spirit gave them others, they sang. They danced in the Spirit. They had a great time, and it accepted the Word of God and sanctification to separate them from their sins, and they know they'd pass from death unto life. What a revival they were having some 40 years ago. But as Israel did, so did our fathers make a fatal mistake. One thing that's held them in the wilderness another 40 years. We find out that instead of being satisfied with what they had and what God had done for them, and seeing the works of His hand, the fruit of grace, providing everything they had need of, even to so much as they didn't have to have a songbook. I wish I could have seen that in that day. But Israel, after all those things, Israel in the natural, this is Israel in the spiritual. Just as God was taking His people to a promised land in the natural, He's taking His church to a promised land in the spiritual. And they was on their road, having a great time, but yet they, after grace had provided everything that they had need of, yet they wanted something to do themselves. Something they could show God they had something to do with it. And that's what the church, when it gets in that condition, it's always when they lose out. As when you try, or I try, or any man tries to put his hand on the Word of God to add something to it or take something away from it. We must leave it just the way that God provides it for us. Just let the revival move on as the Spirit moves on. These people are only 8 or 10 days away from the full promise of God if they would have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These people in this day, our fathers, we're just a few days away from the fullness of God's promise if you just went ahead and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we had to do something like David. The most fatal mistake that Israel ever made was Exodus 19. After grace had provided them all these things and had given them a revival, they still required a law so they could have schools, theological, trained ministers, and, well, just be like the rest of people. Something they could fuss about. Something they could separate one another. Break up a fellowship, a brotherhood. We believe this and we believe that. If they just let it go on the way God had it going, it would have been all right. But we always try to put our ideas in it. That when we inject our ideas, is when we inject our theology into God's Spirit and take God's Spirit away. That's the way it was in that day. They were on the road, but they wanted something they could do themselves. Do their question and do their time off, they found out then that they drove the Spirit of God away from them. It was a great mistake. It was a great mistake when we did the same thing, our Bible. When the Holy Spirit first fell in Azusa Street and many of the parts of the world, if we would just let it go on, leading out the Spirit, keep the world out, allowing just the Holy Spirit be, we'd have done it in the promised land. But we've been 47 years away from it, just as they did. So have we. Something came into the church, another issue, and we wanted to denominate ourselves instead of just going ahead and loving the brethren going on. Well, why not leave it alone? Every plant that my Heavenly Father has in plant will be rooted up anyhow. So what should this do us to draw some of denominational bearers to keep the other fellow out? We only sense up something. I heard a little story going something like this, that maybe it's inappropriate to say in the pulpit over a spirit-filled bunch of people as I have the privilege of speaking to. But said two monkeys were sitting in the tree, looking at each other, and they looked down and seen the poor human beings. And they said, aren't they visible? And they say that they came from us. That's mistaken. No would I ever face up my coconut tree to keep my brother monkey from not eating the same coconut as I eat. That's human beings.
Amen.
The church has always been that way. One time, when Israel wanted to act like the rest of the nation, they wanted a king. They wanted Samuel to give them a king. Well, Samuel told them that this won't work. God is your king.
Yes.
Just let God be your king.
Yes,
but they wanted a king because they wanted to act like the rest of the nation. They wanted to act like the Philistines and the rest of the nation. Pattern as the world instead of letting God be their king.
Samuel
told God said to Samuel, Samuel, your faithful old prophet, called Israel up and said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord or what comes to pass? Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass? Have I ever begged you for your money or taken anything away from you? No, you have not begged our money, said Israel. Neither have you told us anything in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass, but still we want to keep anyhow. See, man wants to do something himself. He wants to show his authority. He wants to show how big he is or how much different he can be from somebody else, from the rest of the people. That's when God goes out of the picture. Just exactly. Now, as Israel was, always has been, just as it was then, there was a mixed multitude. Some of them wanted one thing, some wanted another. That's the way we get it today, and usually the one on the other side is the one that wins when it's the same way as the Nicene Council, when our churches are set up. One wanted one thing and one another. The little Pentecostal group was pushed on the outside. The organization taken over. And the themes of the Nicolaitans became a doctrine after the Nicene Council. They formed their own faith, put up their own man, taken all the Nicol, as I said the other day, means conqueror. Nicolaitan means to conquer the lady and put all the holiness in the man. You need to go to and pay the money into the church and let the man do the forgiveness and things. And let him be your friend and so forth. That's not God's will. God's will is not enough to lay it to everybody. You're an individual. God dealt with Israel as a nation. You and I, as individuals, we try to answer before God for our sins. And we see that mixed multitude. Well, this is two sons of Isaac and Rebekah represent the world over. Every time there's a revival, there's twins born. Every time we have a revival, twins are born. Esau and Jacob are twins.
Yes.
One of them was a man after the world. The other was spiritual. Now, Esau, just as good a man as Jacob was, if you looked at him, he liked to take care of his old blind father, which was a prophet. He was a good guy, morally, I guess, all right. But, and he helped work, and perhaps Jacob was just a little mama's boy. Hung around the mama, and just we call a little sister. And so, he saw with love, a man of the world, natural, never cared us about the birthright. But to Jacob, it didn't take any time to got it. There was only one thing he had in his mind, that was the birthright.
Yeah.
No matter what anything else or how he got it, that's the way it is with the spiritual born churches.
When the Catholic Church had a revival, when Luther had a revival, when Wesley had a revival, Knox, Calvin, all down through the ages, it produced twins. And when Pentecost had a revival, it produced twins. When Moses had a revival down in Egypt, it produced twins. A mixed multitude. One to the world, that wants to act like the world, be like the world, and pattern their message with the world. The others don't hear about what the world says, how tragic it looks, or how untragic it looks. They got one thing in common, that's hold on to the birthright.
Yeah.
You can hold them down.
Hallelujah.
Just the way it's always been. That's the way it is just today, my friend.
Yeah.
Hold on to the birthright. Jacob, they come to the time of, they call him the sissy, how much, what he, how he got it, just so he got it. That's the way it is today. Makes no difference. The people are spiritual. Now, many times the churches are compromising. They get so, they just shake hands with the preacher. As David said, the well preached not long ago, that God don't have any grandchildren. That is true. Our Pentecostal churches are bringing in their young ones, place them up on the seat, and put them members of the church. They never come through the process of being born again and still with the Holy Ghost and upon their own. We take them into the church. What have we got? A bunch of flat top haircuts, wicked, run out on the street just like the rest of the world. Women with bobbed hair, wearing makeup and everything else.
Amen.
Trying to paralyze the world instead of going back to your spiritual
family.
We have our great moons and our great big churches and trying to be bigger than the other fellow, throwing the other fellow over, working for our organizations, denominations. What have we got? We're hacking out a bunch of high-bred people instead of born again children of God. That's right. High-bred. One of the religions of the world. A hybrid can never cross himself again. When a mule is ever born, the mule cannot be nothing else but a mule.
Yeah.
That's all he is. He's born. He's a mule. He's a half-breed. He's between a horse and a mule. He don't know who his papa is, who his mom is, where he comes from, where he's going. He's just ignorant as he can be. He has got no gentleness to him. You can talk to him and just stick his ears out and nicker. With his big ears out. Sometimes I get around a priest, a law than you, that knows more about drugs than a hot pot knows about a gypsy knife. Stick your ears out there. Well, the James of Miracles is fast. There's no such thing as a hybrid.
Yeah.
He might belong to a Pentecostal organization. That might belong to any other organization. But a born again man, woman, I think I love is a hybrid horse. Or not a hybrid horse, a real gentle pedigree horse. What I like is a pedigree Pentecostal experience. One who knows where they come from, knows what got hold of them, and knows where they're going. For the spirit of gentleness, sweetness, and Holy Spirit. Some of tolerance and fellowship reach across the line and shake hands with any brother. Take him in. He's a brother and citizen of the same kingdom. No matter how he was baptized or sprinkled or poured or what he did, he stood on his head or jumped up and down or whatever he got, he's a brother anyhow. As long as he's got the Holy Ghost, he's a brother. And a real pedigree, time again, Pentecostal man and woman, believe that with all your heart. Stretches out their bound. Certainly. No. These twin revivals, one brings forth a man that wants to be intellectual. Once in school, they're trying to dodge that issue of new birth. The church is trying to dodge it. Today we take the people in for water baptism, put them in the church for water baptism. You might put them in the church for water baptism, but you'll never put them in the Christ for water baptism. You've got to be born in there by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's right. Now, God has said, I'll say again, I don't care what kind of birth it is, any birth is a mess. If it's in a pig pen, or if it's in a corn shop, or if it's in a big decorated hospital room, it's a mess. And so is the new birth of man. It'll make you do things that you never thought you would do. It'll make you weep, fall, cry, raise up your hands and turn all kinds of shines and everything else. And you'll act disgraceful before a starchy, self-styled group. But you don't care as long as you get birth out of it. You've got to be fine. I'm talking about the church today. Being born again, coming into new birth, coming to a place that we're trying to stop the issue, but taking in members, trying to keep this other fellow, our organization's growing higher than the other. If this don't count, you know, it's nothing. It's not a thing. It's the kingdom of God, if I count.
Yes.
We're all working for one place. I belong to the Baptist Church, to the Assemblies of the Oneness, to the Treatise, to the Five Districts. Whatever it was, we want to be working for one principle. That's why our Heavenly Father, to get born again children into that kingdom up there. Outside of that, we're working in vain. We're trying to do something for a man-made institution that will fall as sure as Jesus is born. Gospel is the man.
Yeah.
That's the ball. Only gospel thing stands. Has nothing against them. That's fine and dandy. But when we draw those barriers that we cannot fellowship with the other fellow, that's when it gets bad. I've been given out and told that I dislike organizations. I like the people in the organization. But that is organizations is fine as long as you don't draw up and stop and say, we believe this and you rest of you stay away from it and we'll not cooperate with that businessman's group or anything as long as they do like the way it's there. Be an organization. When they get to be an organization, I'm getting away from them. That's exactly right. I don't believe in this stuff. I believe that we're brothers and fellowship and power and leading of the Spirit. That's exactly what I like about it. A mixed politics. They had a law. They went to Mount Sinai and got a law so they could all have doctor's degrees, PhD and LLDs, USDs, and all kinds of these. And so the first thing you know, it got them in trouble. Now, the law served its purpose. It was all right in its day. The law did all right in its day. It served its purpose. So long as the denomination's done all right. It's all right in its purpose. But remember, the law never comes into the promised land. Joshua took them over, grace, not the law. And neither will the denomination, any denomination ever take the church of God over. It'll be the grace of God that shut up all in our hearts by the fellowship of the Holy Ghost that will take us to the promised land, into the fullness of God's blessing. Certainly is. They make a fatal mistake when they do those things. It served its purpose very well. But the time come when it wasn't no good no more. God let it die out. So he could take grace and take them across and physically place them into their place into the promised land. So all the grace of God, whatever member, prophets, teachers, so forth. Now the denomination can't do that. You'll have a bunch of presbyters to lay hands on it, won't pick them more than throwing water on them. It's got to take the Holy Ghost separating Paul and Barnabas. It takes the Holy Ghost that to separate a man and woman and place them where they're physically brought in Christ. That is true. Now, we find out they journeyed from there then to Cadesh Barnea. Cadesh Barnea, they made their most fatal mistake they ever did make. Israel made a real mistake once you come to Cadesh Barnea. Well, they had, then they had their 12 different heads, 12 different groups of them. And they sent them up to the promised land to spy to see what they could get, any information from the inside. When they come back, we find out that 10 of the group said it's impossible to take it. We just can't do it. It's too much of a job. We're little bitty fellows up the side of the land. We look like grasshoppers. There was two that had evidence. It's in somewhere. When they come back, they had the fruits of the land. They come back to know that they had been over and brought back the evidence that it was a good land. Well, that's about the way we get it out of a revival, about two in a sentence. Just about like setting in the cake. About two out of a good sentence. And the first thing you know, John Wayne Taylor come back with the evidence that it was a good land. They had an evidence, oh, evidence. But that wasn't all the evidence. They just had one evidence. That's what the Pentecostals got. When they crossed over the land into the wilderness, over the Red Sea, and found their enemy's head, they began speaking in tongues as an evidence that they'd been over there. They know there was something good. They know there was a land somewhere that was beyond anything we reached yet. That's right, but that's not all of the things. We settled out on that, went to seed on that.
Right.
God said to every one of them, to come in and speak with tongues, the unlearned come in, they'll say, well, they're all mad. But if one will prophesy and reveal the secrets of the heart, then they'll fall down and say, surely God is with you. Paul said that. Now, when we stop, I want evidence of speaking in tongues, being the Holy Ghost with you. All right, that's true. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But just look at the other things that goes in there.
Amen.
But as soon as we did it, we had to denominate ourselves to keep the others out, build up a fence around our coconut tree that nobody else would eat off of this but us. That's the reason the rest of them couldn't get anywhere. It's our own selfish ideas instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead us all out. And we've waited for 4 years and nothing's happened.
Yes, amen.
Still staying in the same place, same old thing. Oh my, we find out that they made a fatal mistake. And they raised up a big bunch of fire. That's what we have, is a bunch of fighters. One said, bless God, I'm the sinless. You want to want this, don't you have this interest? You want Church of God? We got it. Church of God, bless God, we're the ones that got it. We got the prophets I've made. The one that says we got it because we baptized right. Hallelujah. A bunch of fighters, God says, you set that church and you die. Thank you, Lord. The Bible said they stayed there till all the old fighters died out.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Hallelujah.
You let them stay like that till all the old fighters died out. The Bible said so. Old fighters, fighting over their organization boundaries. Don't you have no fellowship with that group? That's brother truth, and this is so-and-so. As long as you got that in your head, you can just check right down the mountain and starve to death. Did you ever think of what those people done for 40 years? Not even 40 days away, and God kept them there 40 years. That's what it was long time ago. I believe that someone speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus, I think it's past due. I think it's because of the church, the reason it's past due. Jesus said so. As it was in the days of Noah, so would it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, God was long suffering, not willing that any should perish. He waited while the people would come in, and today he's waiting for the church to get together. I know it's not popular. It's not popular with most people. But brother, it's the message of the hour to come together. The sons have to move together. We have to be one church of the living God. Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, one ministry of five, and all of us together. We are London. We are God's children by birth.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Yes.
All the Father has given to me will come to thee. And how are you going to come when you got a fence built so high you can't touch the coconut?
Right.
See? You have to do this and do that. Oh, so many people. Like the slipping jailer that night. When he said, what must I do to be saved? What will we do? We tell him what not to do. He's got to quit doing this. He's got to quit going over here. He's got to quit doing this. He knew that's what he had to quit doing. He asked, well, what could he do to be saved? Right. Paul told him in all misunderstanding words. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He found God to be saved. That's all. Get the faith of God back in the people so that they'll know what to do and how to act. Not say, come over and join our group, come over and join that group. Just get them back to God. God will take care of the rest of it.
Amen.
Get them into the kingdom. Old fighters, the Bible says that because they disbelieved the two men, Caleb and Joshua, quieting the crowd. Now, a few years ago, they wanted to know. Introduced Pentecostal, all different ones and so forth, and they wanted to say, well, now we'll go to our big groups and things like that, and we'll go let the Holy Ghost lead us on. Someone said, let the Holy Spirit lead. Well, some new issues and the different times come in, if it's not of God, will fall anyhow. So why don't you go ahead and have love one another? Don't fight one another. As long as the devil comes to fight one another, you don't have to fight at all. He says, fighting. Has a picnic, watching you fight one another, laugh at you. Request to have the Holy Ghost and fight one another. Love one another. Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. That's your my disciples when you got love one another. This is what all men know you're my disciples. But love one for the other. That's the greatest evidence you're only going to find know of. When you can love one another. That's a great commandment. Great things. Though you speak with tongues and many angels, and have not love, it promises you nothing. See, don't organize that on your own just evidence only. Don't put you God out. I believe it too. But wait, he's more than that. Excuse me, my colored friend. Like the colored man down south is eat watermelon. To give him a little bit of slice, about like that, that's all he needs. More watermelon than that. The eyes like his sample said, that's good, but there's more of it. That's what we're not going to take the cross. When the Holy Ghost comes into the meeting, that's good, but I want more of it. There's more of it because it's time. Everything gets in touch with God. Yes, sir. They stayed on the mountain 40 years. We stayed in our denomination 40 years. Fighting this way and that way. And you ever think what those people done out there 40 years? Well, sure, God was with them. He's been with us.
Yes.
They've been out there 40 years. And they raised children. God prospered them. Had good crops. They done a lot of good out there. God blessed them and healed their sickness. There wasn't a single one among them when they came out of the womb. But he let them stay right there to let a bunch of fighters left.
Right.
All down about. And that's just exactly what he's done today. Set us right down, join the sinners and join the church of God and join this and join that and join, join, and boom. Until we sat here and raised children and bought Cadillacs and prospered in business and everything else, but the end of 40 years is up from us. It's a new generation being raised up. That's right. There was a Joshua he raised up one day who absolutely brings God's word every bit of the promise. Not only to take care of you, direct your business and so forth, but to none of it, man. God's done the same thing today. And I believe that this full gospel business man's organization is part of God's program. I'm not saying it because I stand here before him. If I did, I'd be a hypocrite. But I mean it because they have not drawn down a stake and say, this organization or that organization, they stretch the line far enough that they can take it all. And that's the reason I'm right out there today, because they're in the very program that I believe is right.
Yes, amen.
It'll stretch to the assemblies of God, to the church of God, to the fourth word, to the PAJP, PAFW, United, everybody, whosoever will let him come, that he might drink of the water, fountains of the waters of God's grace. No matter if you're riding 1 month camel, 2 months, 3 months, or how many humps has got in you, all the donkey, come on, don't make any difference. That's the only part of the truth for all of the church of this house. That's where they come together. That's the reason I'm part of the businessmen around. Because in that, I can speak to all of them and get my message over to them. To let them know that this is the thing I believe in. I believe this businessman can do all of it. They got to be a part of it. They can be an example of what God can do when men can come together and break their denominational barriers. I believe that these men here you see now, these younger fellows, that all these fruit here, it's the fruit of sons of the old fathers. But these fellows are not fighters. The new group wasn't fighters. You had all the old fighters bow. And when the old fighters bowed off, he took their sons and raised up among them Joshua and sent over to the four promises. I believe that that's what we're seeing today. I believe that's what this Christian businessman organization is doing. God is using it mightily, and he'll continue to do it as long as you keep that denominational barrier broke down. They don't tell you what church to belong to, belong to anything you want to. But they're trying to get you. Get away from the old spider disposition. Back to where these rooting put on the ground any brother. These Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, whether it's Greenists or whatever he is, put the arms down and he's a brother. Don't buy him, love him. Amen. As long as we keep that attitude, God's going to reap one of these days. I'll be ready to speak now. You've been on this mountain of organization 40 years. Let's move upward. Let's move out of here.
Yeah,
this is my ministry brother out there. Don't you think we've been on this mountain long enough? Don't you think we've busted and fought and carried on and stewed over our organization boundaries long enough? Let's get off of this mountain and move up to the promised land. Let's start going up. It's the promised land. God told them, what's the special land? All your fathers are gone now.
Yeah.
Put your sword back in its sheath. Don't fight this land. Don't you make the same mistake your fathers did, or you be here 40 years, too. Deal with a Christian men's organization and so forth, a Christian men's unit. If you ever organize it, you'll stick right here another 40 years. But it's time that God is calling his church to move up. I believe that. I notice, he said, now as you go by Mount Sierra, now there is your denominational brother, Esau, sitting up there. A good Presbyterian, Methodist, or Baptist. Now, don't bother him, don't fuss at him. Just try and find out how you do that. Walk that on. But you've been wanting to get him and shake him and tell him you haven't got nothing. Right. Remember, he's got just what God gives him. He can have the same revival you did. Right. He told Joshua, see that you got? Go over on Mount Seir now, because I give that to Esau. That's all he's supposed to go. That's all he knows about.
That's right.
That's the only thing he knows is his denomination. Well, we are so-and-so. We are. That's all he knows. That's all God did him. Just pass on by now. Don't go to fuss and fight with him. Just pass by quietly. But look in here, Jacob, you Pentecostal Jacob, you really born again, got the experience and led by the Holy Ghost. Don't go to fuss with him. But the Pentecostal Jacob has the full promise down in the land. The thing is going to happen. God said he just broke the whole thing and put in the promised land with the fullness of the Spirit with every operation. That's just the other morning that meeting, feeling myself that my ministry is a spiritual ministry, as I'm not much of a preacher. But notice, in those lines when you talk about Charles Price, of him dying there, Brother Sakarin, prophesying, a few things come to pass. Oh, my spirit rose up within me. He said, that's it. If they could only see him.
Yeah.
That's it. We're ready to go and take the land. Remember what he said about hospitals and so forth? We're ready to do it.
Yeah.
When you stand with the old fighters, put together. Oh, you ministers, and you brethren, you're seeing. Break down those denominational barriers. We can get a Pentecostal revival. The revival. I asked a woman one time if she was Christian. She said, I'll give you to understand I'll burn a candle every night. Like that had to do with any Christianity. Another man said, I'm an American. Sure I am. That's the more to do with it. I'll all be the side saddle. I said, no more to do with it. Put a side saddle on the wall. Why? America don't mean Christianity. Christianity is the power to get experience. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's so amazing. Well, fellowship and love and courage and the Holy Spirit takes over the church. That's a great thing. Oh, sure. Yes, sir. I thought I saw something moving around. You know what? Yes, sir. Protect the promises. The promise is that you and your children, the damage far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Christians, brothers, sisters, we can own this land long enough. We can only own this mountain. We can own this denominational mountain too long now. We've been out here 4 years, it's just forever, it's speaking in tongues. Oh my, when this power is unknown, when the resources is untapped. Father, will you ask in my name, Father, how do you ask the Father anything in my name?
Amen.
Just divine meaning and speaking in tongues, well, that's just a few grace that brought back across the land. The land is ours. God belongs to it. Don't be afraid of the force of Ezekiel over there. He's coming up with it to go all over. That's the way to do it. We've been on this mountain for 40 years. Let's get off of it. And go towards the promised land. My prayer is that God will help these businessmen to keep their hearts as one. That's right. And if the ministers won't do it, God will raise up businessmen to do it or something else. God, get us together because the church cannot go with an arm in one place, a head another, and a foot another. You've got to have a prophesying and an anointing to come in together. That's all I can tell you. So the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ stands up as one great unit of God. Then we'll leave this mountain and go over and possess the promised land.
Thank you, Jesus.
Until then, I'm your brother in the holy fight for that one purpose, to unite the church of the living God together as one heart and one accord. God bless you. Good day.
Glory to God. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Let's all stand together. Lift your hands. Open your heart to Jesus. Everywhere, just lift your hands and praise the Lord.
Praise
God, may bless your heart.
Oh, hallelujah!
Open your heart. Think that maybe in our worship, as sincere as we are, yet sometimes we fail to see the real power of God as great as it is among us. Now, when this vision came, which many of you perhaps all here have been meeting to see things, to see what takes place. And the reason I made that remark, the study here this morning had been all the presence of the Lord. I've taken a picture of it many times, but life, that is God. Because it brings forth the same nature, just like if a tree. I was here in Arizona some time ago and found a citrus fruit tree that I think had several different kinds of fruit on it. Maybe it was an orange tree, had a lemon and grapefruit growing on it. It'll grow in that tree. But Jesus said in John 5:16, I believe, I'm the vine, you're the branch.
Well, now, if that spring brought forth, sign brought forth its first spring, and it, they wrote a book of Acts behind that spring. If that true sign brings forth another spring, it'll write another book of Acts behind. Because now, there's a grasp, you can grasp these other scriptures quick, and it'll live off the life of that tree. And I think today that many times in our modern, we live in our organization, but we end it with a period. You see, we believe this and that power, but we'll end it with a comma. We believe really what God will show us. It'll be different. The organization, but when you end it with a comma, something else will be added. And as the tree is going on, I think that the church really, any church organization, thrives off the life of Christ. I believe that. Because if something has been grasped or added in there, if they can power out of the way of him, putting it up on a minister or a bishop or whatever it might be. Like in Revelation there, it says the beast of the Nicolaitans, Nicholas, the overturned laity. I think in a meeting like this, it gives God a chance to work through laity. The power of God works through the laity. Now, this was in 1933. I was still missionary back in Tennessee. And I'm 61 years old now. I've seen thousands of those missions, many engineers in the news. Now, I'll just call anyone to ask them whatever they can tell us they can be a victim. Now, like we find out what is to the church today, and like how the Holy Spirit is doing the church, the way we see here, and I hear Baptist and my brother and so forth testify, we find that this is to the church, but what it is, it's another branch comes from how that vine. If you watch it, it acts just like it is acting. How the Holy Spirit will rise up among the people and speak different things. This morning I was going down to my church. I didn't know what to call the vision. But I saw these things that was many years before the Lord went to war, and when there's a dictator, how the name of the Lord is. And his first invasion will be in Ethiopia. And he will come to Ethiopia, but it comes in disgrace. And everything that is put on the web, not spending any savings tomorrow night, and bring it all to the same religion of that. And show them how to come to pass by faith perfectly in the heavens with the faith. Now, I can tell that when they gave to the women right the book, that is the Lord. I have not been able to come to the Lord. Nation, it looks just like we're locked and blown out and stuffed and smoldering and so forth. And then we have the aftermath, Mr. Roosevelt, truly, out of his administration here, the world went to war, and luckily it was just exactly in national line, and everything he spoke of in the election, and it was really more than elected for a president now. Thank you.
Don't run away from it.
and he called it malice. He does another, and he called it strife. And he does it next door, but there's room for us all.
What?
I think that's what this is. Room for us all. And so where we can come together and step together in heavenly places, no denominational barriers bother us. We're just one group in Christ. If I could see all the great churches, spiritual churches that's thriving, the real true vine that's coming out of Christ's feet, the group of Pentecost alone, to come together and be brothers. I don't care about their organizations, they keep them if they wish to, that's all right, but don't just end up with a tears. Put a hand out and get the other stuff, see? Let's all come together, see? If I could see that happen, I'd say this as reverently as I know how. If I could see it happen this morning, I'd be willing to say like Simeon of old, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And the time will have to come soon, brother, because we will be forced together. And just remember that. God bless you.